What's up, everyone? We are back. Alexis Yunez alongside Shaka Hislop. This is The Conversation, and joining us this time is the man, the myth, the legend, Premier League winning captain with Leicester City, but more importantly, Jamaican international, Wes Morgan is joining us for this one. And Wes, had to big you up for that one as well, because I know you're one of our fellow West Indians too. And you know, the whole point of this is to continue the conversation, because we're obviously living in a pretty interesting year so far. And I know that 2020 has been such a trying year on a lot of us, but at least in my opinion, I feel like one of the positives to come from it, it's been one of the most unifying years in this constant fight that we have against racism.
I think the fact that in today's world we've got our phones and we've got our cameras on the phones, and you know, we're starting to see a lot more, because I'm sure there's stuff that's happened in the past that, you know, goes unnoticed and is not seen. So I think everyone could feel the moment of when that happened, and everyone's seen the video, and you know, it's very shocking to see. You know, that, you know, a human can be laid on the floor, you know, defenseless, with someone over him, overpowering him, and he's powerless to do anything. So, you know, everyone shared that pain, and it was something about that moment that, you know, we had to stand up and say, enough's enough. There needs to be a change.
And Wes, let me ask this. I mean, how did that impact some of your own interactions in the dressing room? And why I ask that, I've always felt that dressing rooms are such interesting places. And I'll use my time at Newcastle as an example. You know, here I am, a young man from Trinidad Tobago, sitting 5 feet away from somebody from London, somebody from Newcastle, somebody from Belgium, somebody from Colombia. And it creates an opportunity to learn from each other and each other's experiences. And now with you, captain of Leicester City, how does that change your own standing in the dressing room? How does that change some of the discussions you all are having as teammates?
Yeah, you know, it was a pivotal moment, I felt. You know, everyone was talking about it. Everyone was aware of what happened. And it was during the lockdown time when we was all quarantined. So, you know, it wasn't in the dressing rooms, it was in the group chats and stuff, and we was talking about it. But it's probably more the captains came together, the captains of the Premier League came together, and we wanted to, you know, raise the awareness and show our support. You know, so obviously we spoke together, and we wanted to, you know, once football resumed, you know, make some kind of point that would, you know, stand in the memory of people, but at the same time, let them know that we're not standing for it no more, and we want to make change. You know, and that's when you see the Black Lives Matter badge going on the sleeve and the lads taking the knee. You know, so, you know, credit to everyone. Everyone was on board. Everyone was positive about doing something that would be, I won't say extreme, but, you know, something pivotal that would capture everyone's attention, and that's what we came to, you know. So yeah, it wasn't in the dressing rooms at the time, but you know, we had the full support of all our teammates, and it was the captains that came together and decided, you know, we need to do something.
That's interesting. I really didn't know that so much was going on behind the scenes with the captains specifically. I remember Ben Mee speaking out after that plane flew over the Burnley ground with White Lives Matter, and how forcefully he was, and how much it connected with the viewing audience. Yeah. That being said, now, what's next? What's the next step?
Yeah, well, you know, we'll continue to take the knee, which is something that we feel passionate about. And I'm a part of a couple of groups. You know, I work in a group with the Premier League, which is the players, BAME players, group that is there to actively try and make changes within the Premier League to improve equality and diversity that we experience in the game. You know, so on that panel is the likes of Julian Lescott, Ian Wright, Troy Deeney, you know, Shola Amiobi. We're all come together along with some coaches and managers on there as well to highlight issues that are in the Premier League and address them and make positive changes, you know. So there's things going on behind the scenes that you might not necessarily have heard about or are aware of, but you know, we are trying to make that active change. And you know, with the type of people we've got in groups like that, and also I'm in another group with the FA, which is a diversity steering group, and we've recently launched a equality code that all clubs are signed up for, which is to improve diversity in the workforce and change in their corporations. So there's a lot of positive things happening, you know, and I think the main thing is to, you know, stay on it, you know, not let it settle and fade away. You know, we want to keep pushing until we see real change.
Let me ask this. And sorry, Alex, you raised something there, Wes, about taking a knee and the Black Lives Matter patches on the arms. Now, I've spoken to a number of people about this, and before I give you my opinion on it, you're the first active player I've had the opportunity to speak to about it. How do you feel about it? Is it just symbolic? Is it not enough? Is it just right? Is it striking the right tone? What's your opinion? As someone who's still actively playing and parts of those dressing rooms.
I think it's a big gesture that we're doing. You know, I think the stuff, you know, that happens throughout a season, like October, Black History Month, that we'll raise awareness and it's for the whole month, and then it fades and then nothing happens until next season, you know, where we came together and think, right, what can we do? You know, and was very passionate about it. So the first couple of games, we had, instead of our surnames on the back of the shirt, we had Black Lives Matter on the back of the shirt. You know, so first of all, wanted to make that initial statement. And then afterwards, you know, we wanted to submit permanently on the sleeve, which was the Black Lives Matter badge. And for me, it's constantly reminding people, not like-minded, about what is happening in the world today, the situation we're in. And it's something that they won't forget. You know, with the Black History Month, it's great. But at the same time, you know, it happens and it's forgotten. And then no one thinks about it until next year. You know, this is a constant reminder. You know, I'm watching the games on TV and people are taking a knee. I can hear the commentators saying, you know, that the players continue to take the knee in the fight for Black Lives Matter and social injustices, which is fantastic. And every time that's happening, you're constantly reminded, you know. And so until we see real change, that will continue.
That's the thing. I think that we just have to keep hammering that point forward until we actually can see the changes. And I mean, as I said, these things are nothing new. Societies are built literally on racism. Countries have been built on racism and, of course, the slave trade and whatnot. So it's definitely something hard to eradicate overnight or even in a year. But I still, as I was saying, I mean, it's interesting to hear how all these things have been working behind the scenes, as you said, for you guys. Do you feel like this time it's different? Like, do you feel like we're onto something here? We're onto real change? Because as you said, it's something that many players have spoken out before. I've spoken to Premier League players as well about certain instances that they have felt on the pitch. Shaka as well has told his experiences. And I remember one of them even told me, what's the difference if I talk about it now? They just kind of, he's like, I just sweep it under the rug just because what's going to come of it now? And that almost broke my heart. So for you, do you feel like as a sporting community that we're finally onto something now?
Yeah, I feel, you know, from my personal experience as well, you know, when I first came into the game, you know, the experiences the racial experiences I received, you know, growing up, playing some grounds like Millwall, for example, you know, how you used to hear it from the crowd to me and my teammates. And the attitude then was to, ignore it, you know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You know, these type of things where we've come from then to now, we don't have to accept that. We don't have to just, you know, ignore that. Yeah, let's let our feet do the talking and score a couple of goals and shut them up that way and just ignore it. You know, now we can stop the game and say, hold on, referee, this guy's saying something. He'll bring that incident to the attention of the correct officials or the stewards. and that person would be ejected from the game and there'd be consequences, you know. So the changes I've seen so far is we don't have to stand for it no more. Mm. We can actually actively do something about it. And it's time to change now, you know. There's keyboard warriors, there's people on social media that hide behind their screens, their phones, their computers, and say all sorts of stuff and thinking they can get away with it. And this is one of the things we're working on in our groups to try and change, you know. These people need to be identified and be accountable for their actions. And we're working and speaking to various social media platforms to try and track down these people and make them accountable for their actions. So, yeah, it's like you said earlier, you know, countries were built on racism and the slave trade, and things, you know, won't change overnight. But at the same time, they're steadily, slowly moving in the right direction, and it's not going to happen straight away. But hopefully, we'll get there if we keep pushing.
And now I don't want to touch on social media in a bit too, but also one of the things, since now it's been a couple of months since I guess we've started seeing a lot of change since the George Floyd incident. From speaking to other players now, in terms of on the pitch, because like I said, we'll get to social media in a sec. But do you feel like they expressed to you, or just speaking to your friends, that there is more of a sense of comfort going out there and playing once they come into the face of these kind of racist attacks? That I'm sure probably when Shaka was playing, he didn't feel that comfort. He felt like he just had to deal with it on himself, and by dealing with it was sweeping it under the rug, turn a blind eye, let the ball do the talking. Do you feel like now they feel like they have more of a backing?
Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, players want protection and deserve protection, you know, in all sense of the word. So the fact that an individual in the crowd can shout something and, you know, used to get away with it won't happen anymore. You know, we can highlight that, like I've already said, and bring the attention to the stewards, or the clubs can look at the cameras and find the individual and they'll get lifetime bans, for example. And with social media also, you know, players receive all sorts, you know, death threats, racism. You know, even recently I saw the guy who got sent off, Pepe for Arsenal.
Pepe, yeah.
Yeah. The amount of abuse he got is absolutely ridiculous. But there's stuff that you may receive in your direct messages that won't get highlighted. And the Premier League have launched a online reporting system. So literally all you have to do is save the message, take a screenshot of the message, send it to Premier League, and their lawyers, their team will look into it, track down the individual, and the right consequences will happen to that person. So things like that are positive changes, you know, where we don't have to accept it. We can do things about it now.
That's a tough sell, though, in that, you know, social media is universal by its nature. A lot of people can you know, hide behind screen names, and you know, so that becomes a real challenge for the FAs to police. Is this something more that you think these social media platforms can and should do?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they need to set responsibility also. I think it's too easy to, you know, sign up and use a fake name and fake details to have a profile, for example. You know, if they were verified via maybe their credit cards or some type of ID, you know, these people will think twice about just saying whatever they want on social media platforms, you know. And this is the arguments we sometimes have in with the social media platforms. You know, they need to do more to verify these people, so when the stuff like racism happens, they can be easily identified and be banned off that that platform. And there's things like IP addresses, you know, getting a bit technical, IP addresses, which basically means like they can't just go and set up another profile. They have to get a whole new computer and things like that. There's loads that they can do. It's just them wanting to do it and putting their time and money into it, which we feel they should.
And by the same time, the other side of that same coin, you have players like Raheem Sterling, Marcus Rashford, who are using social media with such good effect to raise issues, to challenge some of these stereotypes that you see, not just on social media, but in print media, for example. You saw Marcus Rashford challenge the Daily Mail recently around one of their headlines. Is that something you see players doing more of, using their platforms for social good and challenging some of these social stereotypes?
Well, that's what it's there for. You know, someone as high profile as Marcus Rashford and Raheem Sterling, they have their platforms and they'll have their followers that, you know, will watch them. Even the media, everyone will be watching them to see what they do. So they can use it for good, they can use it for bad, they can use it for whatever mm-hmm. they want. You know, and I think it should be there for only positive things. You know, you can't control what people want to do, but the fact that they're using it for positive situations and for things they're doing is fantastic to see. And it hopefully it's changing the mindset of some of these narrow-minded individuals that, you know, probably think, you know, black people are just good for playing football and nothing else, I suppose.
Mm.
I know Shaka as well. I mean, just literally on the topic of that, Shaka had an interesting conversation recently too with Weston McKennie, and he said something that really stuck with me too, because he said, you know, from Monday to Friday, I'm just a black man, but on the weekends, all of a sudden, I'm a hero. You know, I'm a footballer. Mm-hmm. Is that how you've ever felt at any point in your career, especially, you know, growing up here in the UK?
I wouldn't quite say that for me. You know, obviously, playing in the Premier League, as Shaka knows, you're very high profile, and every day you're in that limelight, I suppose. So, you know, it's not as if I go to a 9-to-5 and I have a normal week, and then at the weekend, you know, I put my boots on, and that's the only time people are watching. People are watching you 24/7 now. So, you know, you always feel that microscope over you. People are watching. So, yeah, I suppose it's different for other people, you know, and the type of work they do, the type of level they're at. Every individual have their own situations, I suppose.
Wes, you're far too modest. I see you as a superhero, right? Let me just put it out there.
Exactly.
You are one of three black captains to lift the Premier League trophy alongside Patrick Vieira, Vincent Kompany. That's pretty esteemed company. That's superhero company, if you ask me, Wes. Congratulations.
Well, thank you for that, Shaka. you know, it wasn't easy. Well, coming from, you know, the levels I played at to mm-hmm. eventually get in the Premier League was just a dream in itself. So to take it that one step further and to actually get your hands on the trophy and to win the Premier League is something I never imagined would be possible. So each and every time I come across them images of me with a trophy, you know, it's it gives me a great feeling.
Look, you've earned that cape and you wear it well. But let me ask you this, because now that you are a superhero, and it's something you raised earlier about players on the field and having to deal with racist abuse on the field, and you expect that the authorities are going to take action, are going to protect you, and if something is said, they're going to do something about it. But oftentimes, and over the last 2 or 3 years, we've had these incidents and these issues where players have received racist abuse and not a lot has been done about it, and there have been continued threats and calls for and discussions around walking off the field. As a captain, as a black captain, given everything that you've achieved, if that became an issue with either you or one of your teammates on the field, is that a course of action that you're prepared to take?
I think there'll be steps. I think the first step would be to stop the game and highlight the individual or the crowd and make the stewards go over there and try and find the individual or stop the chanting or whatever it is, you know, and the game will continue. If it continues to happen, the chants or the individual shout abuse and nothing's done about it, then if it's to me or to one of my teammates, whoever it is, I know the whole group will be supporting that decision. If it is a group decision to, right, if nothing is done, we need to walk off the pitch, you know, so... Mm. Either at that point, we'll walk off the pitch or we'll highlight that situation again and hopefully something will finally be done about it. But like I said, there'll be a step process I think this should be maybe two or three steps before something's done, you know. And with the technology these days and the things they can find out, it shouldn't take that long. You know, there's cameras in all the, you know, definitely the biggest stadiums, and they can see each and every individual's face. You know, I've seen how the technology works, you know. So it should take 5 minutes to rewind a clip, see what's happened, highlight that person and get them ejected from the stadium. So if that don't happen, you know, we have to take matters into our own hands, I suppose.
I appreciate that because, again, it's something that I have wrestled with. And, you know, I retired 10 years ago, over 10 years ago now, and this is becoming more of a mainstream issue of late. And I wanted to hear the opinion of a player currently in the game and a black captain, given everything. So I appreciate your honesty and your foresight, because even just as a footballer, never mind as a captain, as a footballer, the instinct is to stay there and fight it out. But as a black man, you want something to be done. You feel you have earned and deserve that protection and that respect. And too often the authorities, I don't think they've lived up to their end of the bargain.
Yeah, you know, I think you're exactly right. You know, and there's been past instances where we've seen that happen, and players have had to just, you know, accept it and move on. And that's the whole point of being in these groups with the Premier League and things like that, where we're saying, right, if this happens again, this is what needs to happen. You know, that player shouldn't have to accept that. You know, he needs protection, and all players need protection. Mm. And these are the steps that need to happen if something like that happens again. And this is where we're working with the Premier League to make changes like that, so in the future, the next generation coming up don't have to accept that.
And Wes, I mean, Shaka said the stat that obviously, like we said, does make you a superhero, you know, right up there with the companies of Patrick Vieira and Vincent Kompany as the only other black captain to win a Premier League title. When you hear those stats, I mean, of course, when you're thinking of how long, you know, English football has been going on, it is surprising nowadays, but obviously we know a lot of reasons that, you know, probably caused that stat to be such a rare one or a surprising one. Just in talks of representation and whatnot, because we constantly hear, I mean, we recently heard from Tyrone Ming saying that, you know, we probably do need to have a lot more black people, you know, in powerful positions within the FA before we start to see a change. You hear Lewis Hamilton preaching it week in, week out, as he still is the only black driver in Formula One. For you, just how important is representation, or what more is it going to take so that, you know, the youths of the world and the Patrick Vieiras and the Vincent Kompanys aren't in just this little small group?
Yeah, it's massive, you know, and that's one of probably my biggest points, you know, representation in the boardroom, at executive level. You know, you look in the those areas and you won't see no black faces, you know, or you see one out of 30, you know, which isn't good enough. And what we're, you know, campaigning and fighting for is the same representation that's on the football field needs to be reflected in the boardroom and in these executive positions, you know. And I think there's roughly one in three players on a football field is black or from BAME background. So that needs to be reflected in the officers, in the hierarchy of football clubs and in social corporations in general. So this is one of the things we're trying to make a change about. And Paul Elliott at the FA, he's obviously drawn up the racial equality code and what the clubs have signed up for, and some of the targets in there is changing the representation in boardrooms and in the executive positions of football clubs. So there's targets, there's timelines, and we want the clubs to be working towards, you know, when they're interviewing and making certain positions available, you know, interviewing people of BAME background, black people, for the chance to and the opportunity to maybe get that role in position and make the changes in the boardroom. Because, you know, at the end of the day, I think Raheem said it at some point that, you know, when he looks upstairs, he don't see no one of his face, of his colour up there. And there's nothing to aspire to, which is really sad, you know. So this is one of the things we're really keen and hard on working with the Premier League and former and current players to try and make that change?
I think that's important. As much as you talk about taking the knee and those outward signs around equality, you need to see better representation at the highest level. For us to really be, for there to be true equality within the game. It's credit to the FA for taking that stand, for starting those discussions, raising some of those issues. But if I were to ask you, what is a realistic timeline for some of these issues? Can you offer one?
You know, some of the targets I've seen is 2023. You know, and I'm sure you can find that out for yourself as well by looking at the code. You know, so I think it's important to say as well, you know, we need to see the clubs working towards these targets. So they need to be transparent and presenting their, you know, reports and their recruitment process for us to see and analyze and, you know, making sure they stick to what we've agreed. So, yeah, it's not going to be, you know, a quick change. You know, staff turnover in some clubs are really slow. You know, so the opportunities don't come up that often. I think what we're asking for is when our opportunities come up, you know, making sure a certain amount of candidates that are interviewing for that role are from BAME background. And, you know, we want the right person for the job, you know,
first and
foremost. So if they're qualified, they come across the right way in the interviews, why not give them the job?
Listen, clubs are given a certain timeline around FIFA financial fair play regulations and fines it to go with it. I don't see why this can or should be any different. Clubs are, when they break financial fair play regulations, it costs clubs millions, but somehow when they're guilty of or fans being involved in racial abuse, the fines are minuscule by comparison. So there's a framework there, and I think it just needs the impetus from guys like you to continue doing that work behind the scenes. Thank you very much for those efforts.
Yeah, that's you know, we're all working towards the same goal. And for me, you know, it's just making sure the generation coming up don't have to go through the struggles and the hard heartache and all the hard work of what we've had to go through. And when they, you know, eventually in the same position as me, they can come and turn around and say, yeah, I'm in this position now because of the former generation that was before us.
Well, Wes, I mean, thank you so much, of course, for talking to us. I mean, just listening to all the plans that are going on behind the scenes, although I'm not surprised since you're a Superman on and off the pitch, it definitely has made me feel a lot more comfortable or sleeping better, as we do know that this fight can feel so daunting and overwhelming, given the fact that it's been going on for centuries, but definitely feel like we are at least taking a step in the right direction, at least in the sports world. So thank you so much for chatting with us, and we'll let you go put back on your cape and get back to
yeah, he never took it off.
It's getting a bit dusty now. I'm getting a bit too old for this. So.
A massive thank you to Wes Morgan for joining us for such an insightful chat and for always sharing his truth. But stay tuned, because next week we'll be switching things up a little bit, as we'll have Stephen Levy-Cruz, whose organization AFJA won the 2019 MLS Humanitarian Award for their efforts in grassroots football. We'll be talking to him about that and just how the Latin American community helps this fight against racism.